First Thessalonians. We'll give you chapter and verse in a few moments. Just so everybody is on the same page as to my reason for wearing two different types of shoes on my feet this morning is to inform you I have another pair just like this at home. So don't worry, I didn't mix them up. But the real reason is because yesterday during the parade, I was walking along the side of the float, handing things out, waving to people. And just as I had waved to some fellow sitting up on his porch, I started to turn back, and next thing you know, my ankle went out from underneath me, and I went down. And I can't say what was hurt more, my ankle or my pride. Somebody adequately stated it this morning, "You fell down?" I said, "Yes." "In front of everybody?" "Yes." So I'm limping a little bit, but I'm the only one that got a war wound yesterday, so I'll wear that with pride. I want to talk to you this morning about sanctification. Sanctification. Learning how to possess our vessel. Scripture tells us that we are to know how to possess our vessel. The vessel being the body that we have. And what I am speaking of is relative to whom I am speaking. If you are without Christ, if you do not know him as your personal Lord and Savior, then your first responsibility is to come to know Jesus in that capacity, as your Lord, as your Savior. In other words, according to Scripture, you must be born again. Born of his Spirit, born through his blood. That is known as salvation. That precludes sanctification. You cannot worry, you cannot be involved in the process of sanctification without going through the steps of salvation. So salvation is first and foremost. If you have already taken those steps and you know Jesus and you are convinced that he is your Lord and Savior, then your focus needs to be on your walk with him. Yesterday, I was not focusing on my walk. I was focusing on my image. And because of that, I wasn't watching my steps, and I fell. It translates into the spiritual realm, beloved people. Sanctification is watching how we walk. Walking in the Spirit. Paul said to the Christians at Galatia, "Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts or the desires of the flesh." The word sanctification means being set apart. And there's a twofold process to being set apart. You are set apart from something, and you are also set apart unto something. If you just become set apart from something, you become isolated. God never intended for his people to be islands. God never intended for us to be isolated. To live in isolation. Our mandate is that we mingle in the midst of humanity and demonstrate the mystery of the gospel. So when we're talking about separation, we're not just talking about coming apart from those that are in the world and isolating ourselves, having little secret meetings up here on the hill, never letting anybody know that we're Christians. No, it's more than that. Because in order to be truly separated from, you have to be separated unto. And our separation from is from the world, but our separation unto is unto God. And we cannot perform and not be involved in the true separation of that from the world without being separated unto, that we will always be dragged back in to the concept and to the belief structure of the world if we do not understand that we are separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the meaning of being in the world, but not of the world. How does that happen? It happens through the process of sanctification, by giving heed to the things that God has revealed. Our attitude needs to be like that of David's. In Psalm 143, verse 10, he said this, teach me to do your will. In other words, we have to have a desire, we have to have a spirit that is teachable. One of the most frustrating things in trying to teach somebody is when they already know it. And what's impossible is when they already know it all. You know what I'm talking about. How difficult it is to try and get a message across to somebody that feels they already know it all. The psalmist says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. You see, the reason I fell yesterday is I wasn't walking on level ground. We read in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In order for that to happen in the Christian experience, it involves sanctification. 1 Thessalonians, if you'll follow with me from chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the Christians at Thessalonica. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says this, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentile who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. That passage is speaking about how we can possess, how we can learn to possess our vessels in honor. It's speaking about sanctification. And there are several things that I want to point out about this passage of scripture this morning. And in the process of pointing this out, I'm going to be giving you some ABCs. Do you know your ABCs? Do you? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Now I said my ABCs, won't you sing along with me? Okay? ABCs, we learned that how long ago? You don't want me to know, do you?
2 minutes.
For many of us, they've been part of our life for a long period of time. It's second nature. But unfortunately, for too many of God's people, they've never stopped to learn their ABCs where sanctification is concerned. As a result, they're not making much, if any, progress in their walk. They're just kind of going around in circles. They give the appearance of walking because they're kicking up some dust. But they're not making much progress. Scripture says it this way, ever learning, but never able to come to an understanding of the truth. So what I want you to do this morning is, while I talk to you about the points that I have about sanctification, and I'm going to give them to you first and foremost, 3 points, and then I'm going to enumerate on them in a few moments after that. But I want you to be looking for the ABCs of sanctification. And this morning, you will find those ABCs in the boundaries of our sanctification, the blocks to our sanctification, and the blueprint for our sanctification. So you listen for the ABCs. First of all, we need to know the boundaries of our sanctification. In the King James, verse 2 and verse 6 talk about not going beyond and defrauding our brother. That going beyond means reaching over the top, or overreaching, or stepping over the boundaries. In other words, there are boundaries out there that we need to be aware of. What are the boundaries that have been set? Verse 2 says, you know the commandments we gave to you. And then the Apostle Paul enumerated a little bit on one of the commandments. And he drew from commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Here in this passage, he uses the word fornication. He also drew from commandment number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Realistically speaking, the boundaries of our sanctification are the borders of the will of God. You follow that? You think of the will of God like a state. As long as you are in that state, you are in the will of God. When you go outside of that state, you have crossed the borders, you have crossed the boundary, and you are no longer in the state of the will of God. You are in the state of your own will. So anything outside His will for us is outside the boundary of our sanctification. When we step over those boundaries, we encounter a block. And we can go no further in our Christian walk, no further with God, until we step back into His will. So there are boundaries to our sanctification, and those boundaries are outlined very clearly as commandments. You can look at those commandments as fence posts. And here again, when we step over those boundaries, we encounter a block. So secondly, we need to know the blocks to our sanctification. What is it that's going to stop us dead in our tracks? What is it that's going to keep us from having forward momentum? What is it that's going to keep us going in circles? In this particular passage of Scripture, the block is the sin of fornication. And the reason that the Apostle Paul is enumerating about the sin of fornication is because for these people, the people at Thessalonica, that was a way of life before they came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were just involved in a very promiscuous lifestyle. And their tendency, as is the tendency of humanity, is to go back to what is familiar. And so what Paul was talking to them about was that they needed to learn how to possess their vessel in honor and in purity. So he spoke to them about fornication because that was a major block for them. The Greek root of this word fornication is porneia. Did you hear that? Porneia, from which we get our English word porn or pornography. But it's more than that. It's more than prohibiting us or telling us to stay away from that. Fornication is any and all sexual conduct outside the parameters of the will of God, whether it be in our thoughts or in our actions. Now, that's a specific that Paul was zeroing in on in this case. But in a general sense, in general terms, this is speaking of a way of life that is contrary to God's way. And it doesn't necessarily have to include fornication. It can be anger. It can be rebellion. It can be lying. It can be stealing. It's a way of life that is contrary to God's word. In a word, sin. So if you find yourself reacting in the old way, in a present circumstance, you need to talk to Jesus about it. Because reacting in that old way has a tendency to block your progress. Remember, He's the one that makes all things new, and we are new creations. There's also the probability that you might have been saved when you were very, very young. So the old way for you is pretty obscure. You didn't get a chance, if you were saved at 7 years of age, to get really rooted in a pattern of sin. But listen to this. He also deals with this problem in the concept of sanctification, because in verse 5, he talks about the way of the Gentiles. If there's not something specifically that you can relate to, then relate to the way of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are the unbelievers. In other words, if you find yourself reacting to something or acting in a way that is synonymous with the way an unbeliever would act, you need to pull yourself up short and say, wait a minute, this is not how God would have me respond to this. It might not be something out of your past that is prompting you to do that. It might just be plain old human nature. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here is we need to be aware of these things. We need to know the blocks to our sanctification. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20 says, it tells us about the new and the living way that has been made for us through Jesus. And what we are speaking of here is our behavior. Our behavior. Not only do we need to know the blocks to our sanctification, but we also need to know the blueprint for our sanctification. We've looked at the boundaries. We've looked at the blocks. And now we're going to consider the blueprint for our sanctification. Look at verses 7 and 8. It says, "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." We are told in verse 3 to abstain, the King James says, avoid, the NIV says, abstain from fornication. It means, that word abstain means to hold off. Now, how do you do that? How do you hold off? There's a better way to put this. When we're talking about the things that have a tendency to block us, God wants us to have a blueprint for how to handle those things. And if it's sins that always have the capability of tripping us up, and it can be the sin of fornication, anything that has to do with runaway sexual desires. It can be the sin of gossip, a runaway tongue. It can be anything that has the tendency to overwhelm us and control us. It can be uncontrolled anger. It can be lying. You get caught in a trap, and the first thing you do is lie about it. It can be stealing. It can be any of the things that are encompassed in the Ten Commandments that we have a tendency to break, or those things have a tendency to overwhelm us. Now, the best thing you can do in regard to the blueprint, when it says abstain from these things, avoid them, sometimes they're unavoidable. They loom up right in front of you. And I want to give you another word that's mentioned several times in Scripture, and I want to give you the Scriptures that it's mentioned in. That word is flea. Now, we're not talking about the pesky little bug. We're talking about running away. And I know that goes against the grain of some of you macho guys, but the responsibility that we have here is to learn how to possess our vessel in honor and in purity. And sometimes, like Joseph, that means running away, turning our back on the temptation, turning our back on the tendency, and fleeing. Listen to these scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, it says, flee fornication. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, it says, flee from idolatry. Those things that have a tendency to control you, that you literally worship in the place of God. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, flee from these things. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lusts, the things that excited you and brought to the forefront your passions. It's not just talking about evil things. It's not just talking about fornication. Lust is passion, things you have a passion for other than God. It says flee them. Why? Because those two things have a tendency to control you, and those things have a tendency to block you. So therefore, you need to have a blueprint for how you're going to act in regard to those things. And the best way to deal with them is not to walk up to them and see if the situation has changed any. It's not to consider them anew and see if you've changed in relation to your desires for them. It's to flee dodge. It's to get out of town. And you do it with as much haste as you possibly can. So we need to flee these things. That's the first thing. Abstain by fleeing. Then we need to acknowledge the place of the Word of God. How big of a place does this have in your life? You know, in our Constitution, we have a lot of things that we say about a lot of different things, about membership and about responsibility and about finances and about office positions here at Mayor Community Church. But I think that there is one thing that defines us more than anything else. The Word of God is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. So if there's ever a controversy between our Constitution and the Word of God, guess which one wins out? If there is ever a controversy between individuals in the church and the Word of God, guess what takes precedent? The Word of God is our final authority. We need to return the Word of God to its proper place, not only in the Christian church, but in our homes and in our personal lives. John 17, verses 17 through 19 says this. Jesus speaking. Actually, Jesus is praying for his disciples. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. He said, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. In order to be truly set apart, the Word of God has to have its proper place in your life. If it does not, you're going to hit the block. You're going to hit the wall. Acts 20, verse 32 says, now I commit you to God and to the Word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What does the Word do for you? It builds you up. What else does it do? It gives you a place, a security amongst all the others who are also being sanctified. So we need, for the Word of God, we need to acknowledge the place of the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26, he's speaking of the Christian church. He says, in order that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water, with the Word. The Word of God is a cleansing agent. It helps to purify your thoughts, to keep you clean. The psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word shows me how to walk. And so in order for us to know the blueprint of our sanctification, we have to acknowledge the place of the Word of God in our lives. I'm reminded of a little boy that had difficulty pronouncing some words. Worship was one of those words that he was having difficulty saying. And he was trying to tell his parents what went on in church. But he had a hard time remembering how to say worship. So he said this, quote, "We go to church to wash up." Wash up. That's the way he was able to relate what took place in a church. And is that true? We come to church to wash up, to make sure that we are in right relationship with God, that our sanctification that is in the proper standing, that we are not being blocked, that we are making forward progress. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken to you." So we know that the blueprint for our sanctification has us abstaining, avoiding. We know that the blueprint wants us to acknowledge the place of the Word of God. And finally, in our blueprint, we need to actively pursue the way. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8. "Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." So our word here, if we could put it in a negative, is do not despise. When we're dealing with that word in the King James, despise, or in the NIV, the American Standard, excuse me, that says reject. That word's an interesting word. It means to set aside. In other words, the things that the Apostle Paul has been saying here in these first 8 verses, don't do this to them. Don't just set them aside. You know, and when we look into that a little bit further, we find a root that has tremendous significance, especially for our culture. It not only means to set aside, but the root means to place as in a horizontal or a passive position. And when I was thinking about that, you know the term that came to mind? A horizontal or passive position very adequately describes a couch potato. Somebody who just reclines and allows other people to entertain them. How many couch potatoes make up the Christian church? What the Apostle Paul says is you're not supposed to be a couch potato. You're supposed to be actively involved. It's not just don't reject this, but be active. Go beyond the passive and be active in your own sanctification. This isn't something that God is going to do to you. It's not something God is going to do for you. It's something God is doing with you. That means your participation. You are involved. That's why the Apostle Paul says, each of us must learn how to possess our vessel in sanctification and in honor. Because we are working hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to that place of sanctification. Are you a couch potato? Or are you actively involved in God's program, moving, as Scripture says, from one realm of grace to another, from one realm of glory to another? Always moving forward in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So did you get the ABCs? Let me remind you of what they are. And I'm going to start at the end and go backwards. The ABCs of our sanctification are found. The A's are found in the blueprint for our sanctification. They speak of abstain, acknowledge, and actively pursue. The B's are found in the blocks to our sanctification, and it is behavior, behavior, behavior. Your behavior reflects not only who you are, but whose you are, whose kingdom you're living in, what you really believe. And the C's are contained in the boundaries of our sanctification. And the boundaries of our sanctification speak of commandments. And in case you didn't know it, there are 10. But if you're living in the carpool of Christianity, there's only 2. The condensed version that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, he took those 10 commandments and he condensed them to 2. But the point is this: there are commandments, there are fence posts, there are boundaries, and we have a responsibility if we expect to be sanctified. See, there are 3 phases of Christian walk, Christian life. There is the fact that we are justified. That comes when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Then we are being sanctified. That is taking place in the process of our lives after we have been justified. And then there is glorified. You're not there yet because you're still here. Okay? When you move from this realm into the heavenly realm, that's when you are glorified. Okay? Justified, sanctified, glorified. And in this process we call sanctification, there are the ABCs. And I want to encourage you, learn them. Learn them just as well as you know the ABCs that make up the alphabet of our English language. And may God bless you as you seek to walk in His